Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. It has been a really great day. I know a lot of you actually have come in and come back again this afternoon.
Yes.
It's good to see some of you again. I'm with Walker Macy. We're landscape architects and designers. I'm a landscape architect. Our team, we have Ms. Hacker, Lauren Klinger, the Hacker Architects, and we also have Will Dan. And then we also have on our team Darren Doss, Chaplin Doss. Who's been helping put together feverishly over the last couple weeks to pull together some ideas just to get you to take a look at them, get the juices flowing, and give us some responses about what you see, what you like, and maybe what you don't like, so that we can really understand what would be the best kind of direction for the city of Astoria and what would really suit what you need as a community, what you would like to see. So, as Kevin mentioned, we're going to give you a very quick overview, and it's really an overview of what's here in the room. We'll run through it fairly quickly, and we'll be here to answer questions.
Could you slow your way down a little bit?
Yes, I am so sorry. Thank you. I do tend to be a quick speaker. So, we're going to give you an overview, and then we'd love to hear questions and comments that you might have, and of course, we will continue to be here for a while longer. Talk to you one-on-one as well.
And I have a question already. There's
yes.
a program at 6 o'clock. It's 5
That's correct. Yep.
Okay, so there's a different program beginning at 6?
So 6 p.m. is featured on the 13th Street Alley, part of the TED Talk, sponsored by the Downtown Association.
Uh-huh.
It started at 6 o'clock.
Okay, so this is a presentation.
Yeah.
So this is the project area that we've been looking at, which is the Heritage Square space, and we've been looking at adjacent streets and some of the surrounding areas in terms of kind of access and sort of how the place is configured. We were given a set of project values, and what we're thinking about is, you know, potentially looking at a library in the site, potentially mixed with housing, as well as public open space associated with that. And then we were given this set of values to think about when we think about what would make a successful project and what's important about this project. And those include public access, economic redevelopment. It needs to be a community-focused space. It should be sustainable. It should be innovative. It should be adaptable, so places that are flexible and can be used in many ways. Some place that's respected and significant. That is why it's called Heritage Square. And a place that is integrated. It's integrated into the city, and it's integrated into your community.
So this list is actually generated by our project advisory committee. That project advisory committee was appointed by the mayor. We met twice. We actually met just this last Thursday. I recognize a few folks that are in the audience. So Dan Stein, city budget representative of the city markets. Kate, the library board. Although not officially on the project advisory committee, Frank Spence, planning commission. I think every single project advisory committee has actually stopped by at some point during the day. So thank you to all those folks who have volunteered their time.
Thank you. So one of the first things we did, we call site analysis. So just looking at how the city works, where your main arterial roads are, which are also your main commercial streets, as well as the streets that are adjacent to our project site, which are somewhat secondary to those main commercial streets, but certainly have a character and an interest of their own. We also looked at some of the environmental issues with it, where wind's coming from, and also sort of how is this oriented? So where is the sun going to be? Where are the shadows going to be on the site? Because that can influence, you know, how much shading there is or how sunny the space is if a building is built there. So one of the first things that we looked at were the streetscapes. We looked at options for 12th, just kind of some first reactions to 12th. We saw it both on the market days and without. We also looked at Duane and 12th as they are immediately adjacent to the site. About 12th is, it's, you know, on a typical day, it's got two parking spaces and two lanes of traffic. And on a market day, it is very busy, and it's a great market. It's actually really very positive. I brought my family here. We had a great time. But one of the things we did notice is that in this typical condition, you have fairly narrow sidewalks. So one thought was, you know, when these booths go in, you have a tight relationship between the backs of those booths and the market areas or the retail spaces. So one initial thought we had was, you know, were there different ways to look at that streetscape to maybe get a little more real estate for those sidewalks, potentially create a little more room for those retail spaces while still having nice aisles that felt generous and felt comfortable for the market itself. Another thing that we looked at when we looked at streetscapes was the potential for what are called festival streets. Those are also referred to as curbless streets. We looked at those, opportunities for those conditions might be on Duane or on 12th Avenue immediately adjacent to Heritage Square. Duane right now, which has a beautiful new sidewalk next to the garden, and is generally a more typical streetscape, again, parking on both sides and two lanes of traffic. So here's what it looks like today if you were to slice a cut right through the site. You can see those parking lanes and the drive aisles. And then this is what a festival street can look like. Now, in this case, this is an example out of the UK where they've put everyone together on the same street. That doesn't necessarily need to happen. There are options where you can take away the curbs, but you can keep the pedestrians on what would be the sidewalks and keep the cars where the cars go. You can keep that separate. But one of the benefits of this is that if you create a curbless street, you raise that center street grade up, you eliminate curbs. And so on a normal day, you still have all your parking and you still have your two drive aisles, just like you have now. But on a market day, you are able to set up, you know, either a market or even some other festival. This could be a stage set up in the middle of the street and people could watch bands play or something. And by not having that curb condition, it's safer for people, it's accessible, people can go out and they can enjoy the whole space, and it essentially doubles as sort of an expansion of your plaza and your public open space, and being able to kind of make that street do double duty for you when you want to have an event. So I'm going to hand this over to Greta, who will talk about the architecture.
Right, so we're going to zero in on the project area itself, Heritage Square, and I'm going to show you three different options we compiled that put the program we were given, which was an 18,200 square foot library, and that number of square footage was derived from a programming effort that's several years and resulted in a full programming document for the library. With multi-unit housing above the library, and what kind of housing that is still to be determined, whether it's subsidized housing, market rate, Coast Guard, elderly, and then a public plaza space and parking. And then sort of site assumptions we have are, we have a 45-foot height limit in this C4 zone of downtown, so we can't go higher than that. We've assumed that the American Legion building, which is the existing building on the site, stays. And there's currently about 64 parking spaces on the site, and we're planning to provide at least that much, if not more, in the current designs. So the options I'm going to show you are really massing diagrams at this point. There's not really design to them. They're just configurations on the site. But I wanted to show you a few images of libraries from around the country just to give you some ideas of current thinking in library design and what your library could be down the road. Actually designed. And the quotes along with these slides come from the programming document, which was done with the community process here, and they're the five aspects that were important to your library. So one thing that was overwhelming in all the comments was, we want this to be a light-filled space. We want it to be bringing natural light from skylights or big open spaces, and also be visible from the outside so you see that there's activity, so a really extroverted place. So these are two examples. This is the Bayview Library in San Francisco, where there's a courtyard, so you're getting clear story light. This is the Beaverton Library, which our firm designed, which has clear story, wood structure, and then skylights above. Hillsdale Library, which really at night becomes a real beacon, and you can see into what's going on into the library and views out to the surrounding landscape. Also in libraries, a focus on different spaces for different parts of the community. So children is a big component, and that children really learn through playing, so bringing a playful environment into the library that's acoustically isolated from other parts of the library and separated, but really kind of playful spaces. Same for teens, really to have positive options for them, whether it's creative spaces where they can actually make things, making music, sound studios, watching movies, really flexible space that they can move the furniture around and make it their own. And obviously spaces in the library that connect people, whether it's a cafe or collaborative spaces, community meeting spaces, and then, you know, every space in the library, aspect of learning, so technology spaces or just spaces to read and be. And because we're going to be showing you proposals for a project that involves a ground floor library with housing above, this was a project our firm designed in Portland. It's the Hollywood Library. So it has one level of library on the ground floor and then three stories of housing above. So it's pretty much the same scale as what we're dealing with here. And this is an image of inside the library. So the first option, A, concentrates the building portion along 12th Street here. It keeps the open parking lot at grade here, a plaza space here that relates and can complement the garden of surging waves here. Legion building stays, and then this parking lot would remain as well in this corner. So this is a view, again, of just the massing of that option, how it can lay out on the site. So you have housing, which is the blue, above the orange library space, the parking lot between the Legion and the building, and then a new plaza here, and then the other existing parking lot. And so the building section, again, I mentioned that we have a 45-foot height limit. So what we did is divide and have three levels of housing at 10 feet each, and then a 15-foot library space on the ground floor. But because we didn't want to sort of have that consistent 15-foot ceiling, really, in libraries, you want to have some spaces that are higher. In all the options, you'll see that there's also some double-height spaces for the library. So you'd have more of a 25-foot ceiling height, which we've used in other library projects, and it's a great kind of space for an open, big reading room. And then also the underground parking, which you can see here, under the building, which, you know, because you're dealing with your whole city is kind of on this elevated deck, it can make sense to put a parking lot below the library. So this is the other view from 12th and Exchange. So we would likely put the parking entry along Exchange Street, potentially the housing entry on Exchange or on this side of the building, which relates more to the residential side of the property, and then the library entry more on the busier 12th Street. The bonus or the positive on this option is that because you're not building in this corner of the site, it's going to let that light that Chelsea, remember the path of the sunlight on the south side, so there's no building in front of it to cast a shadow on the plaza, so it's going to be a sunny plaza because you're letting light through this gap. You're obviously still going to see the cast shadow from the Legion building, but this is going to be a pretty sunny place on sunny days. And then option B is an L-shaped building. And in this version, we've set the building back off of 12th Street, so you get a plaza space here, which aligns, so you see the facade of the Elliott Hotel here, and then open this, which you could have angled parking on grade here and a plaza. So the one idea is that the market on market days can spill and set up actually in front of the building. And then it also has another plaza space connected to the garden space here, and then the library and housing component in an L shape. And so that's how that looks in 3D. So there's the plaza that's connected to the garden. And then again, this parking lot can stay housing above the library here, but then this portion could just be library with no housing above, and that could be that double height, 25-foot space, potentially skylights above. So really beautiful reading room space. And we've set the building back also here, so if you're coming down 12, it kind of connects the two plazas around the end. Another view from this side, so there's that potential parking off 12. Library entry could be here, housing maybe on this side, again, parking coming in off of Exchange. And one of the concepts for this was to set the building back and, again, kind of honor the facade of the Elliott and make that sort of bookend the plaza. And also you have the open space at the Peace Lutheran Church here. And then option C concentrates the whole building on the south portion of the site, so against the Legion building, and that allows one big, large plaza along the north side connected to the garden. So that in 3D, again, you have the library underneath the house here. And that plaza space would be bookended by the two facades. On this side, you have the ballroom bank building here, which is a really beautiful facade. And then on the other side, you have City Hall. So that kind of bookends the large public space in front. The downside of this option is that because you're concentrating the higher building on this side of the site, your plaza is on the north side, so it's going to be more shaded because this is going to block the sunlight to here through some months of the year. So this is just a summary of three different options. You know, we have different parking counts and housing of these options. I think those can be fine-tuned. I wouldn't get too hung up on the exact data at this point. It's just more we're looking for input on the concepts of the configurations and the pros and cons of those. And then the next three slides deal with actually the library site. So if the project goes ahead for Heritage Square, so you've got the library relocated here with housing, then what becomes of the library? So possibilities are that the library is renovated to a new use, be that offices or something else for the city. You could sell it to by the city, or you could sell it to a private party that then they renovate the library to a different use, or you sell to a private party that possibly demolishes the building and builds a new building in that location. Another option, if the library does not go ahead here, that you renovate the library and build a library addition to it. The problem with this option is really parking, because you're taking over the parking with the addition, and it doesn't really make sense to put underground parking under this small footprint. And then the final option is, if there's no library here, you take down the whole existing library and you build a brand new library on that site. And this is just a slide that that the board over in the corner is the same that represents. This is the building program that was developed for the library, so it's just a reminder of all the spaces that have been determined through the public process for your library. And these are just some images of projects from around the country that have spaces of those types.
So after we think about those three concepts for how the building might sit on the site, each of those then leaves us with a certain amount of open space. And that open space, we need to think about what that is. There was a previous scheme a while back that sort of said it was an amphitheater, but there hasn't really been a public process that said, what is the program for that? Is an amphitheater the right solution? Or should it be something else? Should it be more of a flat open plaza, or should it be all questions that I'm hoping you all can think about what you would like to see and what you think would be right for your community. You also need to think about that depending upon the size of that open space, you can have more or fewer sort of amenities in it based on the amount of space you have to work with. So those are the kind of things to think about. And we, just looking at how those buildings got configured, we put a few ideas down on paper, but they're just ideas to get you thinking about what you want to see. And that's what we're hoping to get back from you is what is the right thing. Now, before I launch into those plans, one of the things that we really noticed that's unique about Astoria is how your city is built over structure. This is not common, and maybe you don't know that, but it's not. But what it is it's very similar to what we do when we're working on building structures and they want roof gardens, only your entire city. So one of the things that we see is, you know, because of the way your city was constructed, you know, when it comes to incorporating green or incorporating trees, for the most part, you're needing to do that in pots. So you have these kind of objects that stick up out of the ground and line the streets or in front of buildings. In this particular situation, in this open space, because you would be looking at redeveloping it, you have the opportunity to look at how you build that platform or how you fill. And that could allow you the opportunity to create green space or create tree plantings that are actually appear to be in the ground, even if they're technically still over structure. This is really interesting and could be really beneficial in terms of making a flexible space, because if you can create that kind of condition, you have fewer obstacles that you need to navigate around, fewer barriers in the site. The site becomes more open because it can be kept fairly level. And so you can create these kind of situations. So we just did a quick sketch that said, you know, what if you wanted a bosque of trees, you know, a grid of trees on the site? You could set those down so they're level, and then if you want to then set up a market or some other event, you can start to do that in between. And we've seen other cities do this kind of same. Now we'll get into the site plans. So getting back to the concepts that Laura just described, we have three. So the first one being the library running in the north-south direction along 12th, and then looking at what that remaining open space is. So as Laura mentioned, we looked at, in this case, that maybe you dedicate a portion of that open space to a surface parking lot. So that becomes part of the space. That could then double if you have an event of some kind. You can clear that out and sort of use that parking for other events. And then you could create some kind of other green space. In this case, we looked at it as an amphitheater. You do have a hole right now where the building was removed. So you don't necessarily have to bring that all the way up to the to the current sidewalk. You could actually leave a depression and create a space that people could go into, a place where people can hang out and have lunch. It could be used for small events like, you know, school choirs and things like that. That you have small gatherings and that sort of event. On the second library configuration, again, this is, and actually on the last one as well, these are about 10,000 square feet for the bulk of the public open space. So in this case, we just showed it as maybe it was more of a plaza. Maybe it's flatter, and it's a little bit, maybe it's a hardscape, so it's easier to use for more events. It'll be very durable, but could be very beautiful, with lots of seating spaces for people to go and enjoy their lunch on a normal day, and then it could convert to other events. In this case, we were thinking about, you know, wrapping that paving to try to draw people around the space and kind of continue it out towards 12th. And then on 12th, in this case, we were looking at the idea of getting back to that festival or that curbless street condition. And maybe you incorporate that on 12th so that when you want to, you can kind of block off this whole block and you have kind of expansion of your plaza out into the street from building to building. Additionally, we were showing that this, maybe we also were able to incorporate some angled parking on 12th with that additional space because the building is set back in this case. And that could also pick up a few more parking spaces at the surface. And then the last configuration we did is that east-west running building on the south side of the site. And this, of course, gives you the biggest public open space. So the biggest potential in terms of the variety of spaces or use types that you want to incorporate in here, program elements, because you have almost 18,000 square feet of open space. So it's almost the same size as the library itself. And so here we just showed it as perhaps there was some, again, maybe there was some kind of amphitheater space in part of it, but you can also incorporate that sort of plaza or garden space on the side. So there's the opportunity to do multiple things in this case because you have a little more room. And again, we were looking at a festival street, in this case looking at on Duane, so that if Duane were blocked off, then you could kind of capture this whole zone for your public open space and it gets that much bigger. So these are the ideas that we put together today, and would love to hear your thoughts and, you know, kind of what resonates and what doesn't, so that we can refine this into something that works for you.
So we've got about 7 minutes left between us. We're going to have Chelsea for me to start the next talk.